Come on, Ray. Come on. Good boy. It's Taking the Lead with Ray Gustafson on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
8:12 on Taking the Lead. It's Tuesday, April 19th, and it's time for Living Gracefully with Todd Dougherty from Woodland Terrace. Good morning, Mr. Todd Dougherty.
Good morning, Ray.
Glad you are here and feeling a whole lot better. You look like $1 million today. We have some interesting information to talk about, something that some people may not even think about or maybe even plan for. You've got some financial planning documents to basically handle the health and end-of-life care for people. Bring us up to date on what you're thinking and what you're talking about this morning.
So just talk about some different documents that I think are important that people have in place. It's obviously very helpful at end-of-life if you have kind of spelled out what your wishes are for those that are in charge of making those decisions for you. Quite honestly, it's extremely wise for anyone at any age to really think about, because something could happen to any of us at any point in time.
Oh, yeah.
I think the better we have those plans laid out for those that are taking over for us when we're not able to anymore, the easier it makes it for them. It's really hard for people to have to make those decisions for other people. So spelling it out as clearly as you possibly can for those people, I think, is one of the kindest things that we can do.
I ran across that with my parents a couple of years ago when I had to put them into a nursing facility. And then, of course, Mom ultimately passed away. But they had nothing. The only thing that they had communicated to me is that they both wanted to be cremated. But that was it. There was nothing. So then I stepped in, and I had to start making some decisions for them. And then I got the pushback. Because, like, no, you know. And they weren't, you know. And Dad, with his dementia, he wasn't able to make those decisions, coherently, basically, because of his disability. It was tough.
And it's, you know, our family, there's three kids.
Yeah.
And so when you have kids, multiple people that are involved in that scenario too, it can be challenging sometimes, because if everyone's not on the same page, there can be a lot of disagreements.
Exactly.
So spelling that out as clearly as possible so those people aren't having to actually make decisions, just carrying out your wishes.
And doing that ahead of time
becomes very helpful.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's an article that I posted on our website under the resource tab, and it's 12 financial planning documents to handle health and end-of-life care. One of the first things on the list is a will. But it simply states that the will is just the beginning of what you should really be looking at. One of the other things it talks about is a living will that really dictates the medical treatment that you're wanting or not wanting when the time comes for someone else to be making that decision. There is it's called the five wishes. And so a lot of this stuff is state specific. Some states recognize some things, other states don't. So it's really important to understand the state you're living in.
Right.
And what they require, what's legal in that state. But the five wishes is actually a great document to go through for anyone. It actually is, it gives a lot of explanation. It gives a lot of tips on how to have conversations. It gives a lot of tips for people having conversations with those that are going to be caring for them. And it gives a lot of tips for those that will be caring for someone, and gives a lot of great questions to really start conversations that really help you talk through why you're choosing what you're choosing, or asking someone else what their wishes are.
So you all understand, you're all on the same page, basically.
Yeah, it's an incredible document. That one is recognized in Michigan. We had an employee that became part of our family who lived with us. And she had leukemia. She had chosen to not have treatment anymore. She had nothing in place.
Oh, wow.
And so I actually came across the five wishes. Hospice had given me that as a document to look at with her. And it really helped that conversation for us to have really good conversations about who she was from. Spain. She had very little family. So it talked through, you know, what family she wanted us to notify, what she wanted to have done, what she didn't want to have done. It was an extremely helpful document.
Right. Yeah, some great advice. Like I said, get all on the same page so that you all are in agreement as soon as possible to get that information together, because it's important.
It is. Another big one is power of attorney for healthcare or healthcare proxy. And one of the things this article says, and we see this a lot actually in our line of work, it's a really good idea to name one person as your power of attorney for healthcare. Mm-hmm. You should always have a backup or alternative. And so basically, if that first person is either not able to or does not want to make the decisions, it lists who then is the next person to go to. What people often do is put multiple people as the healthcare, the power of attorney for healthcare.
Right.
And you do that because you don't want to pick one person over the other. It creates a lot of challenges when it comes time to make those decisions.
I'll
because
bet.
If people aren't agreeing and they're all listed equally as the power of attorney for healthcare, it becomes very challenging in making those decisions.
Right, right.
So something to really think about is, and talk out is, you know, really trying to pick that one person and then who that successor is after that person versus putting...
Sure.
We had one where there were five kids were all listed equally.
Wow.
And so that can be very challenging. And something just be very mindful of and kind of talk through. It's very, you know, the more proactive you can have these conversations, the better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, makes sense. And that's a difficult decision to make as well, though. I mean, if you've got multiple kids involved with it, who's going to be the primary person? That can be that can take a little while to sort that out.
It can be. So we actually sat down with my parents. We sat down and talked that out with all three of us kids together and my parents and kind of talked about what each of us thought our challenges would be if we were named as people on the different documents. And through that kind of figured out who would be the best person to actually carry right. out my parents' wishes. And we're all listed differently on the different documents. So, you know, my brother's a person who has the power of attorney for finances for my parents. I'm the one that has power of attorney for healthcare. So we kind of talked that all out.
That
and
makes
really,
sense.
We were able to have great conversations about who we thought could best carry out my parents' wishes.
Right. Yeah. That makes the most sense.
Another big one is a DNR, do not resuscitate. A big thing this article points out is there's a lot of redundancies in these different documents, and that is actually a really good thing. Different healthcare establishments require different things. So one DNR is not a one and done for all. So it's okay to have that in multiple places. A lot of people have it in their power of attorney healthcare paperwork. They mm-hmm. also have a DNR paperwork. So redundancy is actually good when it comes to a lot of these documents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good.
There's another one that's becoming more popular according to this article. It's called a diminishing capacity letter. And it basically, you give it to your physician and it gives your physician permission if they see that you are failing or you have diminished physical abilities, cognitive abilities, mental abilities, or psychological capacities. It basically is giving the doctor permission to then notify whoever you have in the letter that they are noticing these things.
Right.
Which is a great thing to have in place prior to any of this happening. Another big one, and this we also faced with Maria, who lived with us, was organ donor designation.
Right.
So something to really talk about and talk about where you want that to go. She had stated to us in going through the five wishes that she really wanted to donate her body to science. We did not have a lot of time, but hospice was able to connect us with an organization, so we were actually able to honor that wish for her.
Right.
But the better you can plan that out, then you can have better choices of where you're actually donating your body to.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
A couple of other things are just life insurance. So something to think about, especially when you're younger, because if you are the person who is earning the income for your house, if you have a house payment, and there's people that are going to be left with those expenses, looking at life insurance to make sure that those that are left behind are taken care of is something really important to make sure we're looking at. And like I said, especially us that are younger, and there are people that are dependent on us and our income.
I like that you referred to us like you and I that are younger. I like that.
We're the same age range.
Yeah, right. You keep thinking that. So a lot of great information, Todd, about financial planning documents to handle health and end of life care. A lot of good information that you've shared this morning, and you've got more up on your website, right?
Yep. If you go into the resource tab, it's the very first article that's listed there.
Awesome. Todd Doherty from Woodland Terrace. And for more information, go to
woodlandterrace.com and you can find information about Niles, Coloma, Bridgman. You can fill out a form. You can call us. You can stop in at any of the locations anytime.
Awesome. Thank you, Todd Doherty. That's Living Gracefully for this Tuesday here on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Todd, I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
All right.